Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what's your favorite attribute of God that brings you so much comfort? Maybe it's the fact that our God is almighty and can do all things for you. Maybe it's the fact that God is all-knowing and he knows what is best for you. Maybe it's the fact that God is always present and he is always here with you. But here's the great thing about our God. He's not just one of those things. He's all of them. But here's another attribute of God that is very comforting. Scripture says, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Our God does not sleep. Our God does not become tired. Our God does not need a break, as if he only watches over us 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. He watches over us each hour of the day, each day of the week, each week of the year, and each year of our lives. As he watches over us, he sees the troubles that we go through. But here's the comforting thing I want us to focus on in this account from Mark. God is wide awake to our troubles, and he knows how to take care of them. It says here, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. This account happens at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is growing in popularity, and the people have heard about him. They have heard about his miracles. They have heard about his great teachings, so they are flocking to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't view this as a trouble to him. He has compassion on them. He heals their sick. He teaches them. But on this day, when evening came, Jesus decided to leave this crowd behind and sail across the Sea of Galilee. Why? Why does he leave this crowd behind? Doesn't he care about their troubles and their issues? Well, of course he does. Jesus will be coming back to them. But Jesus knows that across the Sea of Galilee, there is a certain individual who is demon-possessed that needs Jesus. That's why he's sailing across the Sea of Galilee, because he is wide awake to the trouble of this one individual. What a comforting thing that is for us to know. God is not just wide awake to the troubles of great crowds. He is wide awake to the troubles of individuals, including you. You are not an insignificant speck in God's eyes. Rather, as Scripture says, you are the apple in God's sight. You matter to him. You mean so much to him. He is wide awake to our individual troubles. That's why he's sailing across the Sea of Galilee. But as they do, trouble came. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. It is not uncommon around the Sea of Galilee for furious storms to come out of nowhere. Sometimes it is impossible to predict when a storm is going to happen there. But at least four of Jesus' disciples are experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They know this sea like the back of their hand. They have dealt with these storms before. But this storm was too much of a trouble for them. It's dark. The boat is being tossed around by the wind and the waves, and the boat is almost going to sink. So where is Jesus during all of this trouble? It says Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus is asleep. How? How could he possibly be asleep during this storm? Well, one, it's because Jesus is true man. He is physically exhausted. Mark gives us details of what Jesus would do. How he would wake up early while it was still night to pray to his Father. Sometimes Jesus would stay up all night long in prayer. And on this particular day, Mark tells us that the crowds were so great around Jesus that he didn't even have time to eat. He is physically exhausted. That's why he is sleeping here. But another reason he is sleeping is because he puts his full trust in God. He knows that God is wide awake to this trouble and will guard and protect him. But here's another shocking thing about this account. Here it is. Jesus is asleep. And no, I'm not repeating myself as if I forgot what I just said. But earlier, I focused on how it was possible for Jesus to be asleep. Here, I want us to focus on the fact that the disciples didn't wake Jesus up earlier. Why didn't they? Maybe it's because they didn't want to bother Jesus because he was so tired. Maybe it was because they thought they could handle this trouble on their own and they didn't need Jesus. But when they couldn't handle this trouble, that's when they go to Jesus and wake him up. And did you notice what they said to him? They said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They don't say to Jesus, "Lord, we should have come to you sooner." They don't say, "Jesus, we really need your help at this time." The very first words they say to Jesus when they wake him up are these words of accusation that he doesn't care. Don't we see ourselves acting like the disciples in the exact same way? When troubles come into our life, we think that we don't want to bother God with these troubles. Even though Scripture says, "Cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you." Sometimes when troubles come into our lives, we think we don't need the Lord's help and we can do it all by ourselves. One, that's ignoring the fact that Jesus is always here with us and he's helping us. And two, it's ignoring the encouragement that Scripture gives. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you." And when we can't handle the troubles in our life, that's when we can go to God. But it's not, "Sorry, Lord, I didn't come to you sooner." It's not, "Lord, I really need your help at this time." Rather, it can be, "Lord, don't you care? Lord, why are you so awake to the troubles of everyone else and you help them, and yet you are dead asleep to my troubles? Lord, why is it that if you are so awake to my prayers, then why are you deadly silent in responding to me? Lord, if you are so wide awake to my troubles, then why am I drowning in despair, suffocating with sufferings, and I am flooding my eyes with tears? Why don't you care?" And this is when we start acting like Job, who accused God of doing wrong, who thought that God didn't care and that he was not wide awake to his troubles, and thought that God didn't know what he was doing. And when we think the same way, that we are smarter than God, and we think that God doesn't care and he's not wide awake to our troubles, always look to Jesus. In Him, you will find how true it is that God is wide awake to our troubles. Jesus came down from heaven, a place that has no trouble, to share in our sufferings and in our troubles. Jesus knows what it's like to be physically exhausted and to feel great physical pain. Jesus Himself knows what it's like to have emotional struggles, for He wept when His dear friend Lazarus had died. Jesus Himself knows what it's like to have spiritual sufferings. The final hours of His life before Jesus would suffer and die, He confessed to His disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And while He was praying to God, it was His disciples that fell asleep on Him. They couldn't stay awake to be there to comfort Jesus. Therefore, Jesus knows what it's like to go through troubles all by Himself. And why did Jesus endure all of this? One, it's to show His great love for us, that He would share in our troubles. And two, since Jesus has shared in our troubles, He knows how to help us when we are in trouble. That's the next thing we see here. After the disciples woke Jesus up, Jesus simply stood up. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and He said, "Quiet, be still." Just like that, this storm, this trouble went away immediately, and everything was calm. And as impressive as that is, that Jesus could just speak a few words to remove this trouble, I want us to think of this question. Why did He do it? Did He do it because the disciples went to Him right away? No. Did He do it because the disciples prayed to Him so earnestly and asked for help? No. Did He do it because the disciples so firmly believed in Him? No. Because as we will see later, Jesus rebukes them for their lack of faith. So why did Jesus save them from their trouble? It's because of His love for them. And so for us, when we go through troubles, why does God save us from them? Is it because we go to God right away? Is it because we pray to Him so earnestly asking for help? Is it because we believe in Him so firmly? No. God saves us from our troubles simply because of His love for us. And if you need any proof of how true this is, look to Jesus. Jesus was wide awake to our greatest trouble, the trouble of our sins and how we deserve to be condemned. But God saved us from that trouble. Why? Was it because we went to Jesus right away and asked to be saved? No, we didn't do that. Was it because we prayed to Him so earnestly, asking Him to save us from our sins? No, by nature, we wouldn't have done that. Is it because we believed in Him so firmly? No, because at one point, each and every one of us did not believe in Him. So why did He do it? He did it because of His great love for us. God was wide awake to this problem. This is why He sent His Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. This is why He has sent the Holy Spirit to us to wake us up to this plan of salvation. And if God, who did not spare His own Son, but graciously gave Him up for us all, how will He not also be wide awake to all of our troubles and to save us? God will save us from our troubles according to His good and gracious will, and when He knows when it's the best. And we are not to doubt that. But we can, and we do. That's another trouble that we go through, this trouble of doubting God. But God is wide awake to this trouble of us doubting in Him. After Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, He rebuked His disciples, saying, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Basically, Jesus was asking them, "Don't you know who I am? Haven't you seen what I can do? I am the Son of God. I will protect you because I have chosen you. Why are you so afraid? Why do you doubt me?" So Jesus is not saying that the disciples don't have faith in Him, but He is wondering why they have so little faith in Him. And don't we see the same thing in ourselves? Couldn't Jesus say to us, "Don't you know who I am?" We know who our God is. We know that our God is almighty and can do all things for us. And yet we can doubt Him as we pray to Him, "Lord, I don't know how you're going to get me through this. I don't know if you can get me through this." We know that our God is all-knowing and He knows what is best for us. And yet, as we pray to Him, we can think, "Lord, I'm offering this prayer to you, but I doubt that you will actually answer it according to how I am praying." We know that our God is always with us and that He has saved us from troubles. And when He has, deep down inside, we have said, "Lord, I will never doubt you again." But then when a new trouble comes, we once again doubt. We think that Jesus has left us, and we think that He is not wide awake to our troubles. We all doubt Him. And that is not an excuse that since we all doubt Him, it's okay. But since we all doubt Him, we all need to come before Him and say, "Lord, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief." And how will God respond to such a prayer? Look at how He responds to His disciples. After He rebukes them, He doesn't leave them. He doesn't reject them. He doesn't choose 12 new disciples who would be so much more faithful and trust in Him. He is patient with them. He encourages them to put their faith in Him. And most important, He continues to forgive them as they turn to Him. And God does the same thing to us in our doubts. He does not leave us as He should. He does not reject us. He does not cast us away and bring someone else who could be so much more faithful and trusting in Him. He continues to be patient with us. He continues to encourage us to put our full trust in Him. And most important, He continues to forgive us as we turn to Him. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when troubles come into our life, do not doubt God, but fully believe in Him. For our Almighty God, our all-knowing God, our ever-present God, is a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. Our God is wide awake to our troubles, for He knows what we go through, for He Himself shared in our sufferings. Our God is wide awake to our troubles, for He will save us from them because of His great love for us. Our God is wide awake to our troubles, even that trouble of doubt, as He continues to be patient and encourage us. Therefore, let us not doubt but believe in our God who is wide awake to our troubles. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.